This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Mayor John Tory joins us as he has been throughout the pandemic at 5:35 every single day. Mr. Mayor, nice to have you today.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Very well. Let's talk about the weekend. Yesterday in particular, I saw you talking and doing your press conference and updating everybody. You thought it went well. Jay and I both saw a lot of people who weren't practicing physical distancing, who were basically just piling on top of each other, enjoying the day out there and not really doing what they've been told to do. What were we looking at when it came to tickets?
Four tickets yesterday, and I think people were still out there. They were watching. They spoke to a lot of people. We've also had, though, just to go a little bit against what you were saying, and it's not to say what you saw. We've also had way fewer complaints, and I think that we were getting hundreds of complaints per day before from people just calling in to say various people are not engaging in physical distancing. And look, I went around yesterday. I even saw some photographs today of some of the parks, and it was interesting. There was a park. Not far from sort of St. Clair and Yonge, and it was taken from up in a condo building, and what you could see was a fair number of people in the park, but they were all spread out all over the park and even sitting sort of 6 feet apart from each other having conversations. So I think it depends. There were some hot spots probably, as there have been throughout, but I think by and large people really have got the message, and there's always going to be a few, like these two loon balls that climbed up in the tree at High Park. I mean, there's always going to be a few people who don't bother or don't care or don't know, and I think the majority of people really deserve to be commended, and the fact they're only four tickets, I think, indicates that people also were cooperative if they were reminded to move on or to keep their distance.
Let me ask you about the loon balls for a second. When you saw that video, what did you think to yourself? Like, I mean, I can only imagine, but here you are, you've walled off basically High Park so people can't get in. We've got it, everybody's doing their part, and you've got these two clowns.
Well, I mean, I described it today as sort of pre-evolutionary behavior, and I think they rank right up there with Chair Girl for a Darwin Award, a proud Darwin Award nominee for Toronto. I mean, you don't understand what gets into people. Why would you go and go up into a cherry tree in a closed-off area in the middle of the night to have a beer and urinate and do it and then post it on your Instagram account? Like, what possesses people to do these things? But I looked at the bright side of it, and I said, you know what? If 3 million people behave themselves and more or less stayed away from the park and certainly didn't try to burst in the middle of the night and climb a tree, and only 2 people out of 3 million did that, I think that's a pretty good day. And I don't think we should talk about these two guys anymore, because I think it'll just encourage them to engage in behavior of that kind going forward.
Mr. Mayor, a lot of people at 71010 looking for clarification, and I get this question. We get it a lot as well. When it comes to going to a park or going down to the beach, am I allowed to go sit on the beach? Can I sit on a blanket? Am I allowed to have a picnic lunch? Because I thought that I wasn't allowed to be there at all, and that I was supposed to just be walking or just be jogging or just be biking, but not necessarily staying in those areas.
Well, that's a very, very interesting and complicated question in its own way, and I won't give a complicated answer. The beaches were not covered in our original sort of order on these things. All we closed ever, and that's different than Ottawa, for example. They actually closed their parks. We did not. We closed the recreational amenities. Things like playgrounds, and there's some fitness equipment in some of the parks. We closed those. We never closed the parks. What we did in the parks is said, if you're in the park, walking, standing, doing whatever it is you want, you have to stay 2 meters apart from other people unless you live with them. The beaches were covered by the provincial order, and I think it suggests there that you're not supposed to be there at all. I know that that's been, not necessarily fully respected by people, but the parks we never closed. So the decision we have to make is not whether to open or close parks. They're already open. The decision is, when do you reopen the recreational amenities? And that's just part of the overall consideration we're giving to the reopening of the whole city. And I think one of the things you'll want to look at first is greater and better use of public space by people.
As we start to see more businesses like Costco and Longo's insisting on customers as well as their staff wearing masks, an interesting question came up today when it comes to joggers in our city, a city so very, very dense that's really so very, very busy with joggers. You see them all the time, absolutely everywhere. We spoke with our infectious disease specialist, Dr. Abdul Shikari, today about the possibility of making it mandatory for joggers in Toronto to wear masks, and his thoughts.
I do think it makes sense, especially since the weather is improving and people tend to congregate along places like the lakeshore where there might be a lot of foot traffic. I do think it's the responsibility of joggers and people, you know, exerting themselves under heavy strain that they should try and protect others.
So basically,
so talk about this almost every day and have since the beginning, because, of course, there have been various people suggesting that masks should be made mandatory or should be recommended. And it's interesting because our medical officer of health said today, again, that the reason you would wear a mask is to protect others, because the risk of transmitting is greater if you don't have a mask on yourself. I'll just say it's under discussion. I think it's under discussion for partly health-related reasons and also, I'll call it psychological reasons, because we got to discussing today, will people feel safe going this place or that place without a mask, whether it's on transit or in a restaurant? And so I think it's one of those topics that is as yet unresolved. And if the medical officer of health had come along to me any point in time today or any other day during this pandemic and said people should wear masks, I would have followed her advice. But she hasn't as yet. And so it's one of those things that's under consideration for both the health reasons. But I think also if we really want to get the city going again, it may well be that's part of what we have to do to make people feel better about being around the city.
Now, I wanted to sort of get a specific answer when it comes to joggers, because I think when people aren't exerting themselves as much and they're maintaining safe distance, but then you have someone that jogs by you at a pretty close proximity, so many of them, and they're not wearing a mask, obviously I'm at risk.
Yeah, although I'll tell you, the medical officer of health has said both ours, and I think the one in BC said the same thing. And I'm not sure. I know you're making a distinction between people who are kind of huffing and puffing because they're running, but they said if you pass by somebody quickly, whether it's walking, and I don't know if they covered running, the chances of you getting the virus from that close passing by encounter, if you don't stop, are, I think they described it as small or infinitesimal. So, I'll ask the question again about jogging and people assuming they're doing more heavy breathing, if I can use that expression. But I think that they've said the risk is very low if you're passing by quickly, but I'll check and double check that so I can tell you tomorrow.
You know, it's interesting, just looking at the pattern of questions, I can kind of summarize them, because a lot of them are about when are you reopening this, when are you thinking about reopening that. But Toronto's medical officer of health today, and correct me if I'm wrong, says that the city has not likely hit the COVID-19 peak. So that's got a way in, you know, that's got a way in your mind when making decisions, like, for example, opening dog parks. People are asking, and we've probably got about 15, 20 questions about reopening dog parks.
I think that will come sooner than some other things, dog parks, but the point she made today is we're still in the peak period. And the peak period meaning that you're somewhere at or around the peak, but what you really have to be looking for is the numbers going down. And this is no different than what Doug Ford has said. I mean, he said that we would have to have 2 to 4 weeks, I think he said, of consistently decreasing or improving numbers before you could move into phase one. And so they've done a little of this and a little of that with the community gardens and some other stuff they may talk about this week, golf courses. But even notice the way the golf courses was done. It was done that you can spend 2 weeks preparing, but we actually haven't told you can open them yet. And so I think we're all on the same page on this, which is we're, as I described it today, we're trying to open things as quickly as possible, but it won't always be possible for us to open things quickly based on the numbers, on public health. And I think most people really get that. I think they've put up with so much already. They're saying if it takes another couple of weeks or another few weeks to do this properly and not take a big risk, then, you know, go ahead and take the time that will, you know, result in doing it properly as opposed to, you know, to rushing.
Let's talk about 311 for a second. It's come up a couple of times on our text board, and I've had a few emails about it. Is that system overburdened? Does it have a lot going on? Is there going to be a lot of catch-up that the 311 system is going to need to go through in the next couple of weeks or when we get closer to that path forward?
Not really, because what we did was we increased the capacity. So we did get thousands more calls on the pandemic itself and related matters, but there were still the calls coming in about people's garbage not being picked up or whatever. But they told me, I remember the number from last weekend. I'll get it for next weekend, and again, I'll tell you tomorrow. But last weekend, on the Sunday, the time to answer the call was 53 seconds. And if you can answer a call in any call center, whether it's anybody, in 53 seconds, you're doing okay. So we've hired extra people to do it and opened extra stations, and we've opened up a lot more. This is where some of these crises can help you. We're taking a lot more of the inquiries online now on an email, and we've opened a chatbot where it can answer questions. And so I think technology has been used here in the middle of a crisis to sort of try to make sure we didn't destroy the call center by just having it receive thousands of calls it wasn't getting before.
I just want to squeeze this in before we break for the roundtable from 7:10:10. If you guys have the time, can you please ask John Torrey if the ferries will be open to Toronto Island over the summer? It's my respite from the city. I look forward to going every year.
I'm sure they will be open. I now owe you three for tomorrow, and the third one being exactly when they'll be open. But, you know, the answer to your question is yes, because the Toronto Island is just a park. I mean, the part of it that's public is a park. And so it would be like any other park in that the recreational parts of it would be closed. But I'm quite certain the plan is to have the park open. But I will get you a definite answer on the ferry service and how that all relates to everything for tomorrow, in addition to the other two things I've committed to get you an answer on.
We've given you a lot of homework today, Mr. Mayor. It's a good Monday.
Sorry about that.
I should know the answer to these things, but I haven't necessarily heard about the date of the ferries and the park and all that, so it's just one of those things where somebody knows the answer. It's just they're not always brought to my attention right away, and I'll get them all for you tomorrow.
You know, it's interesting. Just a quick follow-up. A lot of people are writing in saying they've been very impressed with the 311 system. 45 seconds, 42 seconds,
yep.
Calls being answered, and they say good work for you.
We were initially swamped, but we put more people on it. We added the chatbot. We've encouraged people to go online and do emails, so we've managed to maintain a reasonably good service levels, you know, with a couple of exceptions when there were crises of one kind or another, or smaller crises. Anyway, I'm glad to hear that they're telling me that the stories that I hear are true about the response time.
Yeah, not many people know this, Jay, but the mayor actually is the chat bot when he's not talking to us.
Oh!
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. Every question is answered. Yep. I'm just a machine. Thank you, gentlemen. And I'll be back with those answers tomorrow, speaking of answering questions.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Thank you, sir. Stay safe. It's 5:46.
I love it when he just does the whole peace out thing every time we get silly towards the end. He knows
yeah.
It's coming. He's like, I'm not going to engage in your horseplay, gentlemen.
Yeah,
I'm a distinguished politician. I don't want any part of what you've got going on here.
Your shenanigans.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.